And welcome back to the Fun Time program. I am your host, John Andrew Fredrickson, and I'm here by myself in the studio today. I've got the whole couch to myself. Vivica is joining us on Zoom today. She couldn't be here in studio, but we are so excited. We have an amazing guest today. Viv, how are you doing today?
I am doing great today. I am just dealing with the weather. It's far too cold for me to be out and about on my bike. So here I am, not in studio.
But city streets.
Exactly.
City streets are dangerous today. So we're glad you're staying safe. So who do we have? Who do we have on the Zoom joining us today?
I'm so excited because we have a special guest from Ghana today, a fellow podcaster, Ami Chika, the host of Sex and Sanity podcast. Welcome. Yes.
Thank you very much, Viv. I couldn't wait for this discussion.
We have been such big fans of yours on Twitter, especially. You're putting out such positivity on Twitter. We've been a big fan of your podcast as well, listening to you talk about the same topics that we love talking about. So we're so excited to be able to jump into the nitty gritty of this together.
I'm just so glad, like, I have fans. I didn't expect people to, like, love the podcast that much. So, yeah, that's great to know. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. I guess the first question that I have for you is, what actually got you into podcasting? And, like, how did you land on Sex and Sanity?
I started as a blogger. I would always write about sex. I love to talk about sex, basically.
It's so much fun.
I love to talk about sex. So there's a podcast network in Ghana. They were calling out for podcasters, and I thought it would be great to have a sex podcast, because in Ghana here, people are hypocrites. It's that bad. So, and I felt like we needed a podcast where people are honest about their sexuality and what actually goes on. Because, like, I mean, people have sex, but they pretend and they would shy away from talking about it. So I wanted to get like-minded people on the podcast to just talk about everything sex. That's basically it.
I love it. So I guess that leads into my next question is, like, how do you choose your guests?
How do I choose my guests? So day in, day out, I meet people because of Twitter. I tweet a lot about sex, so
no.
all the time. So I have people DMing me. And in Ghana, you know, it's hard to meet such people. So when a sex-positive person DMs you, they're usually, like, a little like you. And they were looking for a chance to talk about sex, too. So that's basically how I usually get my guests. I make friends from Twitter. Usually when I'm out with my friends, I try to start conversations about sex.
You're me.
So that helps me. So when we start talking about sex and I realize, oh, yeah, you can maybe you know enough or you have enough experience, then I just tell you I'd love to have you as a guest. So that's basically how I go about it.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I've really enjoyed listening to your conversations. On one of the episodes, you were talking about polyamory, and you mentioned that, like, all the guests that you were sitting there, they were all monogamous, and some of them were more open. One of them was talking about cheating and advocating for cheating, and we're all just sitting there like,
right. He didn't want his wife knowing about it, though.
He's on this podcast.
He even wanted us to take it down. He didn't want it out. But I had to disguise his voice. So, like, he became okay with it. He was so scared in the end that his wife would find out. I mean.
So he's willing to advocate for cheating in private conversation, but then doesn't want it to be associated with his name. That is fascinating.
But I don't think his wife would know it was him, because his voice was, I just changed his voice. So, But I told him to own it. I mean, he had to just try to have a conversation with his partner. They don't do that here.
Right.
They don't do that here.
Yeah. So. Honestly, so I'm polyamorous. And so when I was listening to that conversation, I was like, I'm the friend that you need. Tag me. And I want to talk about this with
you. Yeah, I saw your reply on my tweet about polyamory. Yeah, I couldn't wait to hear more about that. I mean...
Yeah, absolutely. Because I've been polyamorous, like, officially for about 7 years now.
7 years. Wow.
Yeah. And before that, I thought I was monogamous, but I've been like, I've known I was bisexual since I was 12. So okay. I thought that like, as a teenager and like as a young, like in my early 20s, I thought, okay, so I need to find a boyfriend who's willing to have threesomes so that I can like hook up with other girls, but it's not cheating because he approves. Oh, right.
Yeah.
And then as I got older and realized that ethical non-monogamy is an option, I was like, oh, wait, I can actually just date this other person. I don't have to like actually like.
Fine. I mean,
this is so much better.
I think so. Most of us grew up thinking we were monogamous. I mean, mm-hmm. most of us out here, people don't know that polyamory is an option.
Right.
They don't know that it's an option, or they don't think it's practical. They mm-hmm. haven't met people who are making it work. So it's not an option to them. Unless like they meet people who are like, okay, I'm doing this. And I mean, we are figuring it out. I think it'll be hard for them. So when I made that tweet, one lady talked about being in a polycule, and then you should have seen the react. It was like people were shocked, and they were making it look like it was too odd that she was doing something like that.
Yeah,
out here it's like it's odd. I mean, I talk about being. I love other relationship dynamics. So like they make it look like I just make things up, or I'm just like I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, so it's great to meet someone who is polyamorous. I wanted to ask when you realized you were in monogamous.
When I realized?
Yeah.
So ironically, I realized that I was non-monogamous when I started going to like raves and like underground like parties and stuff and hanging out with people who started going to Burning Man. And as I started meeting more like party people, really, I started coming across more people who were ethically non-monogamous. And so I'd meet a couple and they'd be like, hey, so this is my girlfriend. She thinks you're really hot. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so like, as I started exploring a little bit, I realized like I started meeting a lot of people who were dating all of the same people and everyone was okay with it. And I'd show up at a party and see people interact with other people that they're dating while they're with one of their other partners, and everything was fine. And I'm like, okay, so this can actually work. People can be dating multiple people and everything can be fine. There has to be a catch, right? And I realized that the only real catch is that it requires a lot of talking about it up front and setting your standards and setting your boundaries up front and then maintaining those. And also just dealing with your own insecurities, because your insecurities are what's causing jealousy. And if you can handle your own insecurities and handle your own jealousy, you can have those communications with your partners and say, hey, I feel like my needs aren't being met in this relationship, or like, I feel like you're spending too much time with someone else. Could we maybe have like a dedicated date night or something like that? So you can actually express your needs. So once I realized that, oh shit, this can actually work, I started dipping my toes in and was like, oh, this actually works. And then
it does work. It works. I mean, it can be cool. And I wish for people to explore it at least, instead of like doing it behind your partner's back.
Right.
You just explore it with your partner and just make it work.
Right. Because I've been cheated on and I fucking hated it. And I never.
It's disloyalty. I feel like it's very disrespectful. I mean, let's just talk
super
about
disrespectful.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very disrespectful.
It's super disrespectful. It's also a huge breach of trust. And
yeah, exactly.
So you have a situation where you can come back from it, but rebuilding that trust takes so much time, effort, and energy. And there's always this like crack that it might not ever go away, right?
Yeah.
Where if you just tell your partner on the first date, you're going out with someone. Hey, by the way, I have other partners. I'm in romantic and like sexual relationships with other people. I'm not breaking up with a single one of those people for you specifically. If you're mm-hmm. okay with that, we can proceed. If not, then we can just be friends.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. definitely people might be down for it. You don't just pretend to be into monogamy and then deceive them in the end. I feel like it's very wrong. So that's what I do with my relationships. I'm always like, we need to talk about it. If you want to see other people, we need to talk about it. If we are, we just need to communicate. Because if I can't do it, I'll leave. If I can, I'll let you know. It's not like you don't need to force anything.
Right.
How did you first hear about non-monogamy as a you know, potential way of seeing people?
I think I was reading. I mean, I saw it on the internet. I don't remember when, but then I just saw it and I thought it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I always thought monogamy wasn't like for everybody.
Right.
Because I knew people who couldn't stay with one person growing up. They had tried, but they couldn't. It just wasn't their thing. So I always felt like, nah, this is just society forcing this onto us. And I'd read a lot about polyamory and that. So I just, for me, I always thought I would explore it. I wanted to explore open relationships. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I wanted to just explore and see what works for me. I mean,
were there any people
now? So yeah, that's great.
Were there any people in your life that you were able to talk to them about these kinds of things, or was it something you were just kind of learning about on the internet and then you started trying to emulate it in your life with your partners at the time?
I think when I was years ago, I was dating somebody who introduced me to something like that. He wanted us to do everything together. He would tell me that he wouldn't want me to sleep with other people at his back. But then if I meet anyone and I wanted to see them, we had to do it together. He was open to swinging, everything, but then not like, so that was like a first introduction to non-monogamy. I mean, and I thought it was cool. We tried it and it wasn't bad. I mean,
I have a question about that. Was he one of those guys that has a one penis policy?
Pardon?
Does he have a one penis policy where he's the only penis you're allowed to interact with? Or was like you can only sleep with other girls? Or was he cool with sleeping with other guys or interacting with other guys?
He was cool with other guys.
He just
wanted to be present. He wanted to be involved. Yes. He just didn't want you doing it behind him.
Perfect.
So,
Let's not be straight phobic here. I mean, just because somebody is only interested in women doesn't make them a bad person.
I'm not being straight phobic. I'm saying that there is a very common trend of straight men being restrictive of their female partners, of saying that their female partners can only sleep with one other man. They can sleep with as many women as they want, but they can only sleep with they can't sleep with other men because they don't see women as a proper threat, which is based in a whole lot of sexism and misogyny. But like, that's why I asked, like, was he actually okay with you sleeping with other men?
He was, but I've had a partner who wasn't okay with other men. He would tell me that he would feel weird being in a room with another naked man. I don't know whether, I feel like he might feel, some men would feel intimidated or they'll be insecure. Wondering if the other man will do you better than they will.
Right.
So, that's
right.
That's what I think. I mean,
I think
honestly,
that makes sense.
I don't think you're wrong.
So yeah, they would rather you do a woman and then they would be expecting to do her too. That's the
thing. Exactly. Yeah. That's also been my biggest issue with people who have a one penis policy is because they just expect, oh, well, if my girlfriend's hooking up with this girl, I get to hook up with this girl.
Yeah, and that's exactly. That's not how it works. No.
As someone who has been on both sides of that,
So what has it been like finding the sex positive community in Ghana? You mentioned that as a result of being active online, you've been able to meet people through the internet. Do you get to meet people in person then and get to kind of have in-person conversations? Is there a community now that you're a part of that's you know, sex positive and talking about these things and advocating for these things?
Well, I've created one. I've actually created my own sex capacity.
That's amazing.
Yes, that is Telegram. What I like to see. On Telegram, but, perfect.
Yeah, but then meeting people, I don't know, but when I meet people, I let them know what I do. And if you are open to talking about sex, then we just go ahead. If you're not, we don't talk about it. That's how I meet sex positive people. I feel like people usually hide in their shells until they realize that, oh, you are that open-minded. You won't judge them. Because here, people really judge you when you talk about things like that. So once right. you see that you are that kind of person who will be open to hearing everything and not like looking at them in right. criticizing them in any way, then they open up. That's how I have like met sex positive people. And it's been easy for me. I mean, I always tell people that it's because of what I do. Because others always complain to me that it's hard to meet Ghanaians who are open-minded. But then I find it easy. Because my friends, yeah. my friends are sex positive. When we go anywhere, we are talking about sex. We mm-hmm. get people involved. And then we just have great conversations. It's always fun. I mean, if I see that you are not that kind of person who would be open-minded, right. I don't talk about it at all. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, you can tell when someone's getting very uncomfortable very quickly.
Yeah, so we just try to read people. I mean, I don't hang out with people like that usually, so yeah. The places I go to and the people I have around are usually curious people, maybe parties, people who want to like... and also people like to invite me to parties because, yeah, they know I'll talk about that. And then it will get the party interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes,
nice.
That's basically it.
I love
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So my question is, okay, so based on listening to your podcast, I am under the impression that Ghana is kind of a sexually repressed country. Homosexuality is illegal there, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. So okay. you're supposed to be cautious when talking about it. And yeah, it's very, and people, it's criminalized. We are waiting and praying for it to be decriminalized soon. Yeah,
right. That's amazing.
Are people being prosecuted? Do you know?
No, not for now. But then people are like the beat up.
People
are openly gay, that kind. And then people point hands at you, criticize you, judge you in public. So we all know that. So if you're going to, you just try to be as private as possible. Yeah.
Mm. Do you think that that contributes to having a difficulty finding sex positive people for other people, obviously, who don't have a sex positive platform?
Yeah, that's true, because I've had a number of people in my DMs talking about wanting to meet like other women talking about wanting to meet other women because they were into women and they didn't know how to meet them. So so that's, it's like a big issue unless you know people who are like that. Mm-hmm. It's hard. I mean, it's really hard. I usually suggest Tinder, but even with Tinder, you're supposed to be very careful because people pretend to be into other women. They meet you up and then beat you.
That's my God.
It happens. So you have to be very careful. Make sure you know who you're talking to. Just make sure you are meeting the person in an open place. Make sure the person is not a catfish. So
make sure that someone knows where you are at all times.
Yeah, it's very important. But I'm using that currently to meet other girls.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
And it's working fine for me. I mean, it's working fine, but then I'm still like very cautious because I know our society. So yeah.
But what is it like for you? Because you're not just, you know, dating. You're actually, you know, putting your voice out there and representing, you're putting your face out there and saying that I am willing to talk about these things openly and willing to advocate for these things. It would seem like that might make you a target for people who are, you know, trying to push back against the sexual liberation of the country. Have you ever had any experiences in person that have made you, you know, regret that decision or has it been mostly a positive experience for you?
I've had negative experiences, even with family, because they're older. People are not as open-minded as we are.
Of course.
They had a lot to say, but then I told them I know what I was doing. Because I'm old, like I'm not a kid. So yeah, I just have a way of going about things. Because it's not like I'm playing. I know what I'm doing. Like I have a reason for doing this. I'm trying to reach out to people. So yeah, the negative, it comes. But then I mean, I know what I'm doing. It's not like I'm just like... I'm being forced into it. Like I chose to do this. So nothing, no negative comments will like stop me. I don't let it get to me. I mean,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you're a real trailblazer. I mean, leading the way on this is enabling other people to be able to open up in their own lives because they see what you're doing and they see how you're representing this lifestyle and sex positivity with such a beautiful grace, really. And it makes them realize that, hey, you know, if Ami is able to do it in such a public way, then maybe they can explore things even in their own private life that they would have been more reticent to explore. So that's so cool to see how you're doing that, and you're enabling other people to explore.
There's a whole lot more to do because, but then we're on it. I hope more people will be like that. It will take a while, I mean.
Is there any movement within like government or people who are advocating for changing the laws, or is that kind of still down the road?
Let me tell you something. 2 years ago, the government wanted to introduce comprehensive sexuality education into our curriculum because we don't have it. Right. We have to learn a whole lot on our own. We don't have it in our curriculum. And our people like fought against it because they thought when they had a sexuality, they were thinking LGBTQ, and they were thinking that the government was trying to force LGBTQ into like on us. They thought the government was trying to legalize it. So they fought against it. They couldn't like put it in the curriculum. It really hurts me that happened because we really need it. From childhood till adulthood, you would meet older Ghanaians who don't know much about their sexual health.
Right.
It's that bad. I hope they revisit that soon. Once the people are against that, there's not much you can do, I think.
Do you feel that that's changing with the younger generation to the point where maybe there's potential that down the road you could have more success with changing these things?
I am thinking of working with an organization, and then like I have some things in mind. I have like maybe we can use clubs in schools. If it's not in the curriculum and there's a club that students can join where they learn everything they need to know about their sexuality, it'll be great.
And you could call it something different.
Right. That maybe use a different word.
Pardon?
Maybe use a different word instead of sexuality, call it like sex education. I don't know. Think about the branding, that's you know what I mean?
It's like the after school, like boys and girls club, or like just like something super innocuous, where you're just like, oh yeah, it's like the soccer club or some stupid shit, right?
Call it the fun time program.
Fun time club.
I feel like that would be great. Like it would help a lot. Like to teach the kids and then like make them more. Yeah, that's basically, that's what I have in mind. So yeah, I'll put that to.
That's awesome.
I'm working on it. Let's see.
But do you see like in terms of, you know, the older generation being much more conservative and not open to even talking or thinking about these issues and there being, you know, complete pushback there. Do you think that because the younger generation has, you know, exposure to the internet and people are maybe exploring things more now, people like yourself are enabling people to talk about these things more. Do you think that down the road, it's going to be easier to change the legislation?
It will be.
It is getting better.
Let's just give it like a few years.
Okay.
It will like, because I know lots of young people who are not straight, lots of young people who are like bisexual, who are gay, but cannot like come out to their parents because I feel like once there's a larger community, it will be easier.
Yeah.
Once like there's a lot of people talking, I mean, we get it done. Right now it's not a lot, but let's just give it time.
Yeah. I mean, here in America, we are slightly ahead of you in that change. Like obviously we've legalized gay marriage.
You are far ahead.
We are far ahead. Yes. No, yeah. We are far ahead like legislation wise, but like on the streets, there's still like, we absolutely have a LGBTQ plus community here where like you can actually find other people, but there is still a lot of pushback against homosexuality just from your casual American. There is America's a surprisingly religious country for a country that is supposed to have a separation of church and state.
Yeah. When you leave New York, it gets real weird.
Oh.
We're very fortunate to live in New York City. As soon as you leave New York City, it's like, where are we? This is like, you go back in time, it feels like.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, because, I mean, America's a huge fucking country, right? So there are plenty of places in America that are probably as like almost as close to where Ghana is outside of like the legislation, like obviously it's legal, but there's still so much pushback from like the townsfolk and from like the average citizen that your average like person who might be gay or might be in the LGBTQ community doesn't feel safe coming out to either their parents, either their friends, or what have you. And like even here in New York, there's a huge community of transient children who are under the age of 18 who came out to their kids, or I'm sorry, they came out to their parents and their parents kicked them out of the house. So even here in New York City, where it's supposed to be really liberal and really open, you have what are would have been dubbed the Chelsea Piers kids. Because they hang out around Chelsea Piers, but they're usually homeless and they're usually LGBTQ kids who've been kicked out because of it. So, I mean, we're ahead of you in that it's legal here,
there's
but
still a lot of work to be done.
Right.
Yeah. I see that. For us, we are now starting. So,
yeah, but that's great that you're actually like that there is change being made. And I think that your podcast is all obviously helping that change push forward, because people are seeing that you are willing to be public, you're willing to be open, you're willing to be honest, and talk about things that are just so taboo. And I've noticed, I mean, that's part of like where I'm at. I love talking about taboo topics. I don't know if you saw the kink episode of our show, but that was like one of my favorite episodes because
still
I
still our most there. Watched episode yet. I might add.
Oh, okay. So kink is
it's a popular it's a popular topic.
Yeah, I love like I mean I love taboo topics too.
Yeah, I love talking about sex, and I love talking about the positive and negative sides of sex because, like, even though I'm polyamorous, switching over to polyamory didn't come without struggle. There were plenty of times where I got super jealous and got upset and relationships went bad and things didn't work out. Like, just because I'm polyamorous doesn't mean, I have a magical relationship and everything's wonderful and rainbows and perfect. No, I mean, it's still work, but I found that like the way that I communicate with people through polyamory, after becoming polyamorous, it forces me to be a lot more upfront with people and a lot more honest with people, and just be really honest with myself about what needs I need met, what wants I need met, what desires I need met, and be able to voice those things to other people. But yeah, talking about taboo topics is always a difficult thing to start, but once you do, you find like everybody's like, oh, God, I can't wait to talk about it.
What is so your fun. Favorite? What is your favorite thing about sex to talk about, or sex topic?
What's my favorite thing to talk about? Whoa, do I have a favorite thing? Kings. I mean, I love talking about kings.
Yes,
it has to be kings.
Yes.
It has to be kinks, because when you talk about kinks out here, you always get like shocking reactions.
Yeah, exactly.
Out here, so many people pretend to be vanilla, but I think they're not. I mean,
oh, you know they're not.
What kind of kinks do you think are common that people are exploring, but they're afraid to talk about?
Oh, afraid to talk about. I wouldn't know, but then for what's like common out here, it will have to be masochism.
Ooh.
Masochism, submission, dominance, impact play. People love to be spanked.
slugged. I mean, you just sound dirty to me right now. So, like, I can just like catch a flight. What's up? What's your COVID situation? Should I just come through or?
Do people use toys? Is there much of a sex toy industry, or people just kind of just improvising, you know, stuff at home?
People use toys here. People really use toys. There's a sex toy company that like is really selling. I know a number of people that sell sex toys, and they are always saying they sold out. They don't have toys.
So really?
People really use toys. Yeah.
How does that work? Is it a black market, or can they sell in public? Can you have a store on Main Street?
You can have a shop.
Okay.
It's just not like known by lots of people. Those who
got
know,
you.
No. Yeah, that's.
But like the government isn't stopping you from opening a store and selling
at
sex
all.
Toys.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But then people really use toys. you wouldn't know if you were not like sex positive or you're not open-minded, because people might not open up to you about the toys they have.
Right.
But when they see you are sex positive, they'll let you know. I use this, I use that, so people use toys. That's awesome. I always talk about sex toys even, so yeah, okay.
Okay, well, I mean, if you're gonna talk about sex toys, obviously I need to know, do you have like favorite sex toys? Because obviously I have my favorites, but like what genre do you like? Like vibrators, do you like impact toys, do you like what
electricity?
Well, I have a new favorite toy because I just got it.
Okay, I have to hear all about it.
I just got it. It's a thrusting, rotating dodo.
Okay.
I just got it. So yeah, I love it so much. But I used to love my Kegel bowls. Because I used to love wearing it around. Previously when I'm going on a date, I'll have one inside before. Me, and then on the date I'll just like, oh my god, I'm getting turned on, and I'll let you know I have something inside
right now. What are people's
that because I could wear it anyway. I mean,
what's the reactions you get to that?
Well, they just be like, yeah, crazy. I mean, but then they expect it because yeah,
because they know.
They know you, exactly.
Your reputation precedes you.
I know. Like, I love that. I mean, nothing surprises anyone. So, yeah, that's great.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love it. I did say on Twitter, I promised to tell you about my trophy.
Yes, I couldn't wait for that. You said you won an award. Oh, is that it?
That's my trophy.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it. What happened?
Okay, so the trophy itself says young slut sensual playhouse, right? Is that what it says?
Young sluts orgy contest.
Wow, I like that.
So in 2015, I went to Burning Man, and it was my third year going to Burning Man, which I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's this huge fucking, there's actually something called Africa Burn, it's a regional burn from Burning Man that happens in Africa, but the one out there is fucking crazy. Y'all have guns and shit. It's weird. Weird. But Burning Man is basically this week-long arts festival that happens in the desert in Nevada here in America, and it's super artsy, and people are just wearing costumes all day and like dressed up, and there's parties everywhere. It's like a nonstop party, but it's also a city that doesn't exist except for when we come. So we come, build the city for a week, and then tear it all down and take it with us. So it's really fucking cool because it's just the disappearing city, right? And so you're just playing in the disappearing city. Well, this particular year, they happened to have an orgy contest. And I've been running around with my playa boyfriend all week, and we've been having a ton of sex and having like partying and having a bunch of fun. Whoa. And I'm sitting in his camp, and like he's talking to his best friend, and I'm like, should I just like go back to my camp and actually hang out with my friends, or should I like try to like find an event that I can go to by myself, or maybe event that we can go to together? Like, what should I do? And I'm just like looking through the event book, and I come across the Young Sluts Orgy Contest, and I was like, well, I did want to have sex at Burning Man this year.
Okay.
Whoa. This seems like an interesting
orgy contest.
Right. And I'm just like sitting there in my head thinking like, do I want to invite Asher? Should I like ask him if he wants to go? Should I go for myself? Like, what? All right. And then all of a sudden this cute little blonde girl goes, hey, does anyone want to go to the orgy contest with me? And I'm like, oh, you come here. We're best friends now. And so
okay.
She and I grab my playa boyfriend, and the three of us go to this orgy contest. And we walked in, we're like, we don't know how to win an orgy, but we're gonna, like, we coming in to win this shit. So we start having fun and having sex and like whatever. And as we're getting ready to leave, everyone, and like it's in this RV, right? Like this RV bus situation. And there's like maybe 30 people in the RV, and everyone in the RV is like, yo, those two, they need trophies. And talking about Alicia and I, and I'm like, word? Okay.
All what right, exactly cool. were you doing?
There it is. Okay. Where I was, Okay, so that was what I was wondering. I was like, okay, so what are these trophies for? Are they going to tell us? Or like, they just trophies? Or are they just like, am I being patronized here? No, actually. So Alisa won for most orgasms received because she was very clearly coming a lot. But to be fair, she also admits that she comes very easily. So her coming a ton, unsurprising.
Okay.
She was also having a great time. So again, unsurprising. I arguably won the better trophy because I won for most orgasms given.
Oh! So you gave her the most orgasms. Wow. How many orgasms did she get?
No. I gave everyone the most orgasms.
Oh, wow.
That's putting the funny. Orgy in orgy, I might add.
Wow, you deserve that. That's like a YouTube. I mean,
that's what I fucking said. I was like, okay, this is like the best trophy. Like, this
you're an orgasm queen.
Wait a second. You were putting the O in orgy.
I mean, like, she gave the most orgasms. Wow.
Can I say, I'm a fucking champ.
Yeah, you are. Like, you deserve the trophy. You should have a crown.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm so excited because I knew that you would enjoy this story. And like,
yeah, that's great. Like, I wish something like that happened here. How often does it happen, though?
So orgy contests, that was the only one I've ever been to. Orgies, though. Before the world broke, you know, global pandemic and all, before the world broke, sex parties were actually pretty regular here in New York City. If you were like fully immersed in the sex positive scene, you could find a party just about every weekend or like almost every other weekend. But the best parties were happening either once a month or once every month and a half. So like often enough that you can like go meet people, have fun, have a great time, but also not a huge like draw on your wallet, not a huge draw on your time. And a lot of the parties are themed in some way. So there's like costume themes. So you like dress up and like have cute little costumes and like run around.
That would be fun. And they're legal. Are they totally legal?
Oh,
great question.
In Ghana, they are illegal. In Ghana, they are illegal. So you're supposed to be very private.
That's exactly the same here. Yeah. So it's illegal to have sex parties here. But especially if you're serving and selling alcohol.
Okay.
I really think it's the alcohol that's the only thing that's illegal, right? Because you need a liquor license, and these are kind of like underground parties, so nobody's getting licensed for it.
You do.
But
need
is the
a
sex
liquor-
itself?
Well, you do need a liquor license, but like the reason why it's illegal is because if you're serving alcohol, and there are like you cannot legally serve alcohol with naked women present. It's like a cabaret rule, actually, like from the strip club.
Right. So
if there are naked women present, you cannot sell alcohol.
You need a separate license. You need a cabaret license for that. Right.
Okay. So, and if you have a cabaret license, you can't get a liquor license.
But don't some of these places get away with it because they basically say it's like a membership thing? Like you pay a membership like an entry fee to get in, but then you're not paying for the individual drinks.
So here's how a lot of the places get away with it. A lot of places who have like nude strip clubs or what have you do BYOB, and then they'll take the alcohol from you as you walk in the door and charge you an uncorking fee. So they charge you to open your alcohol and serve it back to you. And
so
that's
they're not selling. Yeah.
But they're not selling it. They're just opening it.
Right. Okay.
So with a lot of the sex parties, it's BYOB. And then like you're not paying for your drinks, but you're tipping your bartenders for serving you the drinks. Because they're providing the mixers, they're providing the ice, they're providing the cups, but you're providing the alcohol. So you still tip your bartenders, but at the same time, like you have your name on your bottle, so no one else is drinking from your bottle without your permission, kind of a deal. So it makes it a little bit easier.
It is interesting that, you know, it's not technically the sex that's banned. It's right. You know, not the fact that you're throwing a sex party. If you weren't charging any money and if you weren't serving any alcohol, there would be no problem. People can get right. together and have right. sex and parties like that. But, you know, and a lot of these laws, they're kind of outdated because they come from another time where they were, trying to legislate things and make them more conservative. But nobody's prosecuting this kind of thing now, unless right. you're being really explicit with it and you're like throwing big parties and making a ton of money. Then they're right. going to crack down on you because they want a piece of that. You know what I mean? They want you to be a legitimate business, but it's right. not possible to do it in this capacity yet. But these things are changing. We have people running for mayor now who are talking about totally legalizing all of this kind of stuff, sex work.
Well, hold on. So the thing is, I'm going to correct you right there, because the people that are running for mayor are actually not talking about legalizing sex work. They're talking about decriminalizing sex work, which is a very big difference.
A step in the right direction.
No, actually, sex workers don't want sex work actually legalized, because then the government takes too much of their money and they have too much oversight. Yeah. Decriminalizing sex work actually allows sex workers to make their own rates, set their own standards of operation, and basically unionize within themselves without interference from the government and without interference from the police.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they're allowed to operate
everywhere. I mean,
right?
We need that everywhere. It's illegal here too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I also
does
think
it still happen?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
What kind of question is that? Sex work is the oldest industry.
It's the oldest. In the world. You can't stop it.
Like, people have been selling sex since the beginning of fucking time, and that's not going fucking anywhere. It's a matter of whether or not the government can make money off of it.
Yeah.
Just find a way to go about it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think that, like, at least from the sex workers that I have interacted with and talked to here in the States, the consensus is that the most helpful thing for the industry would be to decriminalize it. And we found that, like, when we did decriminalize marijuana and stopped prosecuting marijuana, the industry started thriving, but also we didn't see any sort of spike in crime. We didn't see any sort of spike in, like, anything that you would associate with, like, negatives of decriminalization.
There never is, in any capacity, any place where they legalize sex work or drugs or any of this kind of stuff. It's always been, as far as I can, I mean, maybe I'm living in a bubble, but as far as I can tell, it's only been positive. And I guess it's for people who think that this stuff is terrible, it's negative for them, but, like, right. Get out of your freaking, don't engage, stay home. Like, let other people live their lives.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, if you don't like sex work, just don't engage with sex work.
Yeah,
like,
don't patronize them. I mean,
don't hire an escort or watch porn if you don't like sex workers.
Well, the problem is people are afraid that their partners are hiring escorts and watching porn, and that's why there becomes this, like, contribution of, like, oh, I totally disagree with that, honey, so I'm going to go to Congress today and make sure it's illegal. You know what I mean? And then they're going to go hire hookers on the side and act like it's no big deal.
People are hypocrites out here too. Yeah. They pretend they don't like sex workers, but then.
Yeah. Hire them all the time. Of course. Yeah. Well, it's also part of control, because if they can control women's bodies and they can control how women, like, move independently, because as we've seen historically, the easiest way for a woman to be financially independent and be financially secure has been through sex work. So what is the easiest way to make sure that women stay subservient and stay under the thumb of men? By criminalizing sex work and making it impossible for women to get jobs that pay equally to men. So if we decriminalize fucking sex work and we actually support sex workers and support the safety of sex workers, hey, let's overturn SESTA FOSTA, kids. But once
we should do a deep dive into that. We really need to get somebody on who works in the industry and can give us that insider's perspective. That would be really fun.
I think at the end of the day, decriminalization is a big thing.
Yeah. 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 At the end of the day, it's this hypocrisy. People, they want to live in this one world where they represent, this is how I am to the public, but then it's totally at odds with how they actually want to be in private. And I think that's where we end up with this big conflict. And the more we can, emulate and convince people to live positive lives around the things that they actively are engaging in and are excited about, and to teach them, like, you don't need to be afraid of these things. You don't need to be, acting like this is all taboo and terrible. If we can just live out and open and talk about these things in a positive way, everybody's better off. And, we have a much better and healthier society, and people are happier. So it's so cool to see that you're doing that in Ghana. I mean, what an inspiring story.
Yeah, I should do more. I mean, I feel like there's more to do. So yeah.
That's a sign that you're doing good work, you know, because if you always feel like there's more to do, it means you're on the right path. I love that.
I will say, I did notice your post on Twitter, because obviously I'm a huge fan. I'm following you on Twitter all the fucking time, interacting with you on Twitter. I noticed that you were looking for guests coming up. If you need a guest, let me know. I will happily jump on.
Yeah, I will. I will. Most definitely. I will let you know.
Because as you can see, I love talking about sex.
Yeah, I can see that. You won a trophy. I mean, for all the things.
And as my Instagram points out, I am the goddess of electricity. Okay. Have you gotten a chance to play with electricity or see any type of electricity?
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
Okay, I mean, I can tell you, but because I happen to be at home today, I can just show you.
Yeah, please show me. I'm here.
Show and tell.
Oh, yeah. Show and tell.
Vivica is our resident electricity expert. She knows all about how to use electricity to make people feel interesting things.
Have you explored that yourself?
I have experienced it, yes. It's been interesting to see. I mean, she has all these different things. I'll let her do show and tell, but there's so many different ways that you can create sensations with electricity and you know, just create new ways of titillating the body, so to speak, you know, enabling your senses to kind of feel new things and just, you know, explore what your body can, the potential for your body to experience pleasure is so limitless. And so it's so fun to see all these different ways that people can come up with creative ways to try, you know, new experiences, you know, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be like entirely sexual. It can be, but it can also just be about like light touch or light stimulation of the skin. You know, there's such a wide spectrum of what you can do.
Sensuality is so much fun.
Yeah.
It's all about being sensual and being engaged with your sensuality and what you enjoy. So,
and there's always something new to learn every day.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking of new things to learn, this is a neon wand.
Let's describe it for people who are at home not watching.
So, the handle is just like this white handle that you just hold in your hand. And for our American listeners, if you've ever been to like Spencer's and seen those globes that have like plasma inside, like the purple plasma, and you put your hand on the globe and all this mm-hmm. like static electricity comes to your hand. That's what this is, only it's in wand form. So you can see there's a glass attachment right now. And this glass attachment allows electricity to pass through it. So I'm going to turn it on.
I love it. Are you taking pictures?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you hear the buzzing? Like,
there it is.
Yeah, I can hear it now. I can hear it.
Oh, I think Zoom is trying to block it. Zoom's like, that's not probably a sound we want you to hear.
Zoom's like, that's an ambient noise that I don't like. Okay, so I'm going to move it a little bit closer to this camera so you can see how it has like...
It's a little glass bulb. And there's electricity pulsing through the bulb. And you can see these orange, almost like lightning on the inside. It's like a gas.
Here, let me see if I can turn this light off and make it just like a little bit darker so that you can see it. Because like the daylight, it makes it just very difficult.
So okay, there's essentially electricity pulsing through this glass bulb.
So you see how it's like kind of orange?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so like a neon light, it's like that is like causing the orange. But then when I touch it to my skin, you hear that like zap and see how it like brights up?
Wow. It gets super bright when it touches you. It makes mm-hmm. a connection.
How does it feel?
So you know how like when you get zapped with static electricity, when you're like mm-hmm. going across carpet and you get that zap?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's this, but this is a controlled version of that. So I'm basically just zapping myself with that static electricity every time my skin makes contact with the glass.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a very external sensory experience, almost like a little mm-hmm. prick, you know?
Yeah. And like you can control how intense or how light it is as well. So you can have it be just like the tiniest little like sensation where it just kind of feels almost like it's vibrating. Or you can have it be really intense where it feels like zap, 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 right? So you can have anywhere in that range. But what's also really interesting is, so this glass attachment actually comes out.
Okay. Okay.
And you can replace it with other glass attachments, or you can replace it with a conductive, like a metal conductive pad. Okay. And that metal conductive pad goes up against your skin and it's called the power tripper. And it turns your skin into the glass. And so all of the electricity is just sitting on the top of your skin. So when anyone touches you, they can feel the electricity anywhere on your skin, and oh, you feel it too.
Yeah.
So each of you feel the skin to skin contact, and the lighter you touch, the more intense the electricity. So you can either just like graze someone's skin and it feels like there's vibrations happening between the contact of the skin, or you can just kind of like stay like slightly back, like the ET phone home, like slightly back from each other, and see and feel the electricity jump between the two of you.
Wow.
It's really fucking cool.
How would you get that? What's the name?
It's called a neon wand, N-E-O-N.
Yeah.
Wand. Okay. And that's made by Kink Lab, K-I-N-K Lab. And there's another version of it called a violet wand, like violet, like the color.
Okay.
I personally like the neon wand better, but they're ostensibly the same thing, just different brands.
I've seen it. Wow.
I'd love to get that. It's fucking amazing. It is one of my favorite toys. And because I'm that like crazy person that loves electricity so much, I love using the contact pad to make myself electric. And in doing so, I updated my flogger so that my flogger is conductive.
Okay.
So this is my flogger.
Whoa, okay.
Well, this is one of two floggers. This is Zeus, my conductive flogger.
Okay.
So
Zeus
and Thor. So
Zeus and Thor. What fantastic names.
So as you can see, like as I get closer, you see the stitches?
Yeah.
So those silver stitches are the conductive thread that allows the entire flogger to conduct the electricity. So when I have the neon wand attached to me, I can use the flogger to zap someone while also hitting them in impact.
Wow. Oh my God. That's amazing.
But you can also do it in a very light way, you know, in a way you can use the flogger to kind of touch someone's body. It's almost like fingers all over your body.
Like,
but now it's electrified.
Like, car wash, right? Like
feels
this.
Good. I mean,
yes,
it feels insane.
Yeah, it's quite
fun.
A sensation.
I fucking love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. Like, it's one of my favorite things to experience personally, but it's also one of my favorite things to like show off for other people and like have other people explore it for the first time. And then there's this, which is like the big boy upgrade of
this thing is nuts. This thing is nuts.
This is called the Eros Tech. And
Eros like love and tech like technology. Eros Tech.
Well, it's T-E-K.
Yeah, so but
that's what it's supposed to mean. So you see all the little labels on the box?
Yeah, Eros Tech.
I'm just going to just read some of them to us.
Yeah, so it says like climb, throb, combo, thrust, thump, ramp, stroke, waves, intense, that kind of stuff. Okay, so this little box doesn't look like it does much, but it's actually fucking amazing. So what you do is you have like cords like this that just plug into the box at the top, like that. And then it has these two ends that you attach to other things. And so some of the other things that you can attach it to are the cock and ball loops.
Okay.
So this one goes around the cock, this one goes around the balls. And what it does is it has electricity jump localized between the two rings. So you only electrify someone's penis and no other part of the body.
Wow.
But unlike the neon wand, where as soon as you make skin-to-skin contact, you no longer feel the electricity, with this, you continue to feel the electricity even with skin-to-skin contact. So I have literally electrified a partner's penis and could feel the electricity while I'm fucking him.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's so intense. Oh my God. Wow.
It's so cool. Okay. And it also has different attachments. So as you can see, I'm very excited about this thing. I love this thing. So this is the vaginal egg.
Okay.
Wow. And you see how it's like clear down the center?
Mm-hmm. So it's a metal egg, just describing it for people. It's got metal on both sides, but then there's a clear glass centerpiece so that the metal sides are two separate. They're not connected to each other. So they can be the mm-hmm. positive and negative poles of the electric charge.
Right.
But it's just an egg otherwise, like a vaginal egg.
So the thing about this egg is, again, so it's plugged into the box and it just slides inside you as an egg would, except it doesn't like move around. There's no like thrusting or anything. But when you
this isn't your mother's jade egg. This is next level stuff here.
But like when you set it on any one of the settings, what ends up happening is it feels like someone's fucking you based on that setting. Like it causes the walls of your vagina to contract in a way that it feels like something is going in and out of you, but nothing is moving except for your vaginal walls. It's kind of like a sharp feeling, but at the same time, like, first of all, if you're a masochist, you're gonna fucking love it. Second of all, it's such an unusual and distinct feeling that, like, sensation wise, it's something that, like, I think everyone should have the opportunity to try at least once, but that's the hedonist in me. Mm-hmm. So it's
how really, do I find this? What's should I just type erostek?
Yeah, E-R-O-S-T-E-K. And yeah, you should be able to find that online. We're going to throw links to all of this stuff in the description of this video. So anybody either listening or watching at home, you guys can check this stuff out as well. And we do highly recommend for episodes like this, if you're listening to the podcast version, we recommend loading up YouTube and checking out the video version because it's just a little bit more fun when you can see what's going on.
For show and tell. For show and tell. Also, if you have more questions about this, I do go into more detail about electricity and about some of these toys in our kink episode. Our kink episode is basically like a kink 101. And we're going to be doing continued kinks. Like we're going to continue that into a kink series. So we're actually going to do upgrades where we do kink 202, kink 303, and do more in-depth looks and less nuance, or I guess a more nuanced look at specific areas of kink.
Are we calling it Kink University?
I mean, we could. Kink you. Hey.
And I would like to point out, we haven't done enough job promoting your personal social media, because if you're interested in this kind of stuff, while we do touch base with it on the Funtime program, Vivica tends to be living this lifestyle all the time. So if you're really into this kind of stuff, we really recommend checking out her social media. Where can people find you on social media, Viv?
So me, I'm easy to find. I'm at Goddess of Electricity on Instagram, or at Goddess Tri V, as in, you know, Vivica.
That's T-R-I and the letter V. Goddess T-R-I letter V on Twitter. Yep.
Short for triple V, you know, because Vivica Volt. Hey, VV Volt.
Nice.
Goddess Trivy on Twitter. You could also just search for Vivica Volt and I come up. And so that's how you find me on the social medias. I'm also on Twitch, twitch.com/Vivica_Volt.
What are you up to on Twitch?
On Twitch, I am just a gamer. So I sit here and right now I'm about to finish my first platinum trophy in the game Control, which was rated the best game of 2020. So that's really fun, my first third-person shooter. But there are plenty of other games that I'm playing on Twitch that I love to play. So if you want to follow me and comment and tell me I'm doing a terrible job at platforming, which I tend to do, but I love platformers anyway, please follow me. Let me know.
That's awesome.
And obviously, Ami, where can we find you? Because I'm following you everywhere, but please tell our listeners where they can
follow you. I just followed you on Instagram.
Yay! I'll follow you back.
Okay, so on Twitter, Ami's Diaries. It's spelled A-M-I-S, then Diaries. D-I-A-R-I-E-S.
Ami's Diaries. Ami's Diaries. Awesome.
Yes, that's basically it. On Instagram, there is Ami's Diaries, and my personal account is Amishika, at Amishika, let me start again. Amishikah at Amishika. Awesome.
And we'll put links to all of this in the description as well. Yeah. And you have a website as well, no?
Yes, yes. It's amisdiaries.com.
Amisdiaries.com.
amisdiaries.com. You should awesome. See it. I write a lot about sex. I mean, yes. That's basically what I do.
And we love it.
Obviously, we're going to talk a ton more about sex coming up because...
Yeah, we have to.
Obviously. We might have to get you back for when we do one of the Kink You episodes.
Yeah, you should let me know. You should let me know when. Yeah, then.
Because we'll just have so much fun talking about all this, fun this things. Be
fun. I loved hearing about the electricity. I'll explore that. I'll read more about it.
Oh, yeah. Again, this is like my forte. Electricity is my favorite thing. And I actually taught myself the basics of electrical engineering so that I could manipulate LEDs more efficiently. Okay. So I can actually build and run a circuit by myself.
Wow.
So when I say I love electricity, it's not just in the kink side of things. I love electricity. I'm all about them ohms.
One of the coolest things about electricity, coming from someone who's not, you know, super into the kink world, is that you can expose people to it without it having to be a sexual experience. You know what I mean? So you can show people what it's like to experience electricity just at a regular party. You can bring it to the bar with you. Maybe not the flogger, depending on what your situation, you know, what the you know, local social situation is, but even just a little electrical unit that enables people to experience what it feels like on the skin. And then you can show people how it's really just an extension of our languages of love. And I love that phrase. And we keep coming back to that in all the different people that we talk to in the kink world, where it's all about developing ways to show your partner attention, you know, and that can be just through light electrical stimulus on the skin, all the way up to, you know, having things inside you that are stimulating your muscles to make you feel things that you've never felt before. But it doesn't have to just be that, you know what I mean? So people who maybe aren't super into the kink world or are new to it and they're, you know, they want to, you know, have little tiny experiences without requiring them to go into a full sexual experience, electricity is a really fun way to kind of expose them to that. And Vivica does an amazing job of doing that by bringing, you know, some of her electrical toys to parties that aren't even kink parties. You know what I mean? You brought one to my birthday party once and we're showing everybody what it felt like to feel the electrical stimulus. And people are really, you know, excited by that. And it gives them that little bit of curiosity to realize, you know, there's a whole world out there that I can learn more about that maybe they aren't doing enough of on their own. And sometimes they need that little stimulus, you know? And so boom, there's the electricity is a great little intro. That's been my experience as an outside observer.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely take it to parties all the time. I took it to the bar. This is like just your casual fucking bar after dodgeball one day and was like, literally just like playing with electricity with a bunch of my friends. And like, I used to do kink demos as well. So before the world broke, I would have electro flogging demos where there would be basically kink tasting parties. So there would be different stations set up. So like a wax play station, a flogging station, a suspension shibari station. And then there was me, which was the electro flogging station. So people got to experience all these different types of kinks. And I got to be the first exposure to both impact play and electricity for well over 200 people.
That's awesome.
And when the world comes back, I am really looking forward to being able to do that again because I love introducing people to kink in a very healthy and safe environment.
Yeah. What is that like in Ghana? Are there ways for people to dip their toes into this kind of stuff and learn more about it in person? Or is it only kind of online and then you can try to experiment in private?
It's basically online.
Oh, but that's a shame.
We just try to, I organize events annually. We started 2 years ago to bring sex positive people together to talk about these things.
Are you able to do demonstrations like that, or is it mostly just conversation?
We'll have to do more. We were just trying our hands around it to see whether people would patronize it. So let's see how that goes. But then because of COVID, it will have to be on hold. When we have when the whole COVID situation is
settled,
we will do something like that. We'll just see how to go about it.
I will say,
boys, showcase, like, we just, I'll take notes from you.
Yes.
For regards to the electricity, I mean, you are the pro here.
What can I say? When the world is like less fucked than it is right now, I would love to come out to Ghana and just bring my, like, traveling with my sex toys is fucking hilarious. Going through the airport with my sex toys is fucking
hilarious. I was going to say, what's that going to be like?
I can tell you exactly what it's going to be like, because I've done it. And so it's about which sex toys I bring. So my flogger and the electricity, they don't give a shit about. The toy that gets caught every fucking time is the Enjoy. Do you know what an Enjoy is?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
Oh, wow. How many toys do you have? Bring everything.
Bring everything, Viv.
Well, first of all, I have an entire drawer in my dresser that is dedicated to kink and corsets.
Wow. Kink and corsets. Nice.
So this,
I think I've seen this. Okay. Okay.
It's an Enjoy Pure Wand. And for our listeners at home, it is a curved metal steel, stainless steel bar that looks like the smile of a smiley face. Mm-hmm. It has two balls on the end. One that's about an inch and a half in diameter, and one that's about a half inch to an inch in diameter. So the two balls are slightly different sizes, but the Enjoy itself is pure stainless steel, and it's not hollow either. So it is like a hefty weighted toy. And because it's pure solid metal, every time I go through the airport, they think it's a weapon.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do they take it away?
No, if they took it away, I wouldn't have it. But
I would assume you'd get another one right away. Come on.
I mean, what do you do? What do you do when
they? Okay, so what I do is the same way that I have to take my shoes off and put my shoes in a bin. Ironically, the last time I traveled with my Enjoy, I was wearing heels. So the bin actually just looks fucking hilarious because it was the Enjoy in its box. So it has this like beautiful box that has like pink satin in it. And so you open and it says Enjoy on the top, and I had it in the box so that you would know exactly what the fuck it is. Right. Like, okay, it's very clearly in a box. Like it's clearly a thing. And so I took it out of the box because like the first time they stopped me and I missed my fucking flight. So on the way home.
Oh yeah, my God.
And it was a first class flight that was bought for me. And I was so pissed. I had to wait like 5 hours to get on the next flight. I was fucking livid. Because the guy was like, well, what's in the box? I was like, a sex toy. He's like, well, what's in the box? He asked me 7 times. And every time I kept getting progressively louder. And there was like a mom and a son standing not like 4 or 5 feet away from me. And I'm looking at this man and I was like, it's a sex toy. And he's like, what is it? It's a sex toy. Before he opens the box, he's like, okay, well, what is it? I was like, it's a fucking sex toy. Would you like a demonstration or are we just going to get this over with? So the only way that I found that I can actually get it through security without getting stopped is by taking it out of my carry-on and just putting it in with my shoes so that it's visible. Because they'll pull the bin either way, but if they can pull the bin, see what they're looking at, they'll put it right back and let me take it. So that way they don't have to search it. Okay. The same way I'm going to take out my laptop, I'm going to take out my Enjoy. You know what I'm about. We know what I'm about. Let's keep it fucking moving. Let me get to this fucking flight. Hey.
What would the security in Ghana, what would their reaction be? Do you think?
They wouldn't know what it is. So yeah, you can't just say it's anything. Because if you say it's a sex toy, you really get lots of attention. Sex toys are fine here out. Just that you get so much attention if you say it's a sex toy. So many people would want to come and see it.
Oh, wow. Really?
Of course.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. This woman is traveling.
Yeah. And then they'll put it on social media. Like, I mean.
Yo, I'm that asshole. I am not ashamed about sex at all. So if they did that.
That's very good.
I would be posing with the security guards like, what's up? have you as my mentor? I'm like, what's up? I would pull out the whole case, be like, can I just take a picture? Can I put it on my phone? Can y'all tag me? Like, what's up?
I have a necklace, a vibrating necklace that I wear around.
Is it a Crave Vesper?
I'm coming. Let me see if I can get it.
Because I bet you I have the same one.
Let me see. Let me bring
show and tell.
Okay, so this one's mine.
Oh, it's similar.
Oh. What is the company that makes yours?
I got it from Best Vibe. I don't know.
So this is the company that makes this is called Crave.
Okay.
And this particular one is called the Vesper. So Crave is a really interesting company because they make discreet, wearable sex toys.
Wow. What else do they make?
They have these bracelets that look just like regular gold bracelets that double as handcuffs. Like their whole line of jewelry is discreet sex toys as jewelry. It's so cool.
Yeah, I think it is. I love wearing my necklace.
I love this thing, especially because when I wear it, people ask me, oh, are there drugs in there? Like, what is that? Is that like, I've had someone ask me if it was a railroad spike, whole nine yards. And it is surprisingly powerful for such a little fucking vibrator.
Okay.
It does work.
Yeah, and it has weights too.
It does. It has four settings. So high or low, medium, high, and then pulse. Can you hear it?
Yep.
Yeah, I can hear it.
So that's on high. And as someone who very much loves my my Hitachi magic wand, the rechargeable, I was very impressed by the portability and strength of such a tiny little necklace.
But this has eight different modes.
Eight? Damn, yeah, okay.
It's a lot. It's so cool. I really like it.
That's awesome.
I just love wearing it, knowing that it's a vibrator.
That's my favorite part. I very rarely use it as an actual sex toy, but I love wearing it because of like, you never know. I might just have to like run to the bathroom or something. Like,
I mean,
what's fun is my partner, Patrick, actually bought that for me. And it was the same trip where I flew out to Los Angeles and got stopped with the Enjoy. And on the way back, I had a first class flight. And so since I'm like laying there, it was like my first time flying in first class. And so I'm like sipping champagne and like the seat like lays back into a bed and they give you a blanket and shit. And so like I'm sitting next to like this, like very obviously a businessman. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. So I like laid under the blanket and was like, well, I'm going to use my new vibrator. And
I
was
like, oh my God, did you use it?
He has no idea. And like, because it's a plane, there's already enough ambient noise that you can't hear the vibrator. And he had headphones on and was like watching a movie or something anyway. And I'm just like sitting there pretending to sleep. And I'm like,
that would be so fun. Oh my God.
What can I say? The exhibitionist in me.
I'll have to explore that. I mean, this was fun.
Oh my God. This has been such a great conversation. Obviously, I could talk to you for hours about this.
Me too. I can listen to you for hours.
So we're going to have a great time. We're going to do this again.
Yeah, we have to. Most definitely.
But we're going to let you go. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day and stay safe.
You too. Thank you so much for inviting me on here.
Absolutely.
I just posted an image of the
neon wand.
No, this one.
The Enjoy.
Oh, the Enjoy. Yes.
The Eurostack. That's the Eurostack.
I
just saw it on the internet, and you should see the reactions I'm getting.
Oh yeah.
I will tag you in it. You should
please
see what. What's your social media handle?
I'm at Goddess Trivee on Twitter.
No, I know yours.
Oh, John, sorry.
Me.
John, what's your...
Yeah. I'm Jay Fredson on Twitter. It's J-F-R-E-D-S-O-N. And you can find these in our description for Funtime Program. If you go to Funtime Program on Twitter, we're both linked in the description from that account. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tag away. This is on Twitter, I assume, or Instagram.
Yeah, I've seen the Twitter.
Nice. Awesome. Well, Ami, thank you so much.
This has been so fun
learning about, you know, your story and how you are promoting sex positivity in your community and in your country. And it's wonderful to hear that, you know, even though obviously, you know, sexual repression is something that we all struggle with in different ways around the world, that with people like you, we can, you know, we can show the world and show our local communities a better way to go about dealing with sex and embracing, you know, things that we all do. And we all just need to have a healthier relationship towards them. So we really, really love what you're doing. And we're so happy to have had the chance to talk to you about it. And we can't wait to get you back on the show and talk to you about it again sometime in the future. We look forward to hearing, you know, after COVID is over, what kind of new ideas you come up with for sharing sex positivity in your community.
This was fun. Like, I really loved it.
Awesome.
And if you ever find yourself in New York, I've definitely taken you to a sex party.
Most def. I mean, I can't wait.
Have a wonderful rest of your day, dear.
Thank you again and be well.
Thanks for checking out this clip from our show.
To watch more clips or full episodes, click on our profile below.
If you want to stay up to date on all of our new episodes and videos, click subscribe.
And if you have any ideas for future guests or topics that you would like to see us cover on the show,
leave us a message in the comments or connect with us on any of our social media channels at Funtime Program.
Or on our website at funtimeprogram.com.
We'll see you in the next one.
Bye-bye.